It's good to see y'all this morning. I don't know about you, but this is remind you of something. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
Superman.
The young guys just don't have any clue. See, I grew up with this, all right? You know, so it this is something you have to bring in. Now, I know you know Superman, correct? Okay, all right, that's good. That's a good step, all right? Now, you have to go back a little bit further, you know, to understand these things. I don't know if they do that anymore about Superman, but with most of us, when we are in trouble and we know it, we are looking for help. We want a rescuer, so here comes Superman. Woo, all right. You know, I feel better now. Yeah, we're going to whoop the bad guys. We're rescued. We win. You know, that type of stuff going on. And you know, with that looking, you know, that looking, that's, you know, when you say behold, it's really saying, look, see what's there, you know, wake up. You know, pay attention. Open up your eyes. So when you say behold, you got all the stuff, because I was kind of looking at this word, not kind of, but I was researching behold, and this one guy, Chris Llewellyn, I was reading a little bit of his says, and I'll just read a quote from him. He says, it's like God grabbing us by the collar, this thing here, the collar, urging us to notice something incredible that we are currently ignoring. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? You're walking in life. You know how it is. You're just walking and things are going good, or, you know, or kind of just day-to-day stuff, and all these things are happening around you and things like that. You know, God is always at work, and we're just kind of going, you know, boring, or I don't know what's going on. You know, God's going, look up, behold me, right? Because Superman is only temporary. Superman can only give temporary help, see? But God has something more for us, because he's the one who created the whole universe. And he actually loves his creation. He loves us. So he has something even better in mind. So the sign that we are studying today, this next sign of Jesus, you know, people call it a miracle. John calls it a sign, you know, because you're looking at the significance of what this is about. You know, what is this feeding of 5,000 plus about? And so we're going to be studying that, looking at that, and behold, it's really what kind of grabbed me in all of this. And so we'll see what the significance of that is for us today, and what God is going to teach us each. Excuse me. My throat always does that, doesn't it? Let's pray before we go on. Father God, first of all, we just want to praise you and thank you that we can be together and to be able to get into your word. And Father, I know I'm just a human being. I am very limited in understanding and even in my words and all that, Lord. But I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak in a way that is more than words, that it will touch our hearts and come alive in each one of us as you so desire. So I just ask that you'll, yes, work your wonders, supernatural wonders that only you can do. And we give it a praise and glory for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we are. Here's Jesus and this 5,000. What's interesting about this passage here, this is mentioned in all four Gospels. There's only one other event that's mentioned in all four Gospels. Do you know what it is? Jesus' birth? No? What's that? The resurrection. So it's crucifixion and resurrection, that event. That's a fairly important one, right? And so this must be important. for some reason. I mean, to me it is, because, you know, pumpkin pie is pretty important to me. You know, you're going to feed me. I'm part of that crowd. I want my food. You see, you know, the basic necessities of life calls for it. You know, give me my bread. You know, in Thailand, it's giving me my rice. You know, give it to me. You know, bread was like a dessert in Thailand. They put ice cream on it. Maybe put a little bit of condensed milk on it. Some chocolate. Wow, I got to start getting back to this. So when you look at these four Gospels, so you know, you can turn to Matthew. I have Matthew marked here. And it's chapter 14. And some things that come out from this, you know, see, they are looking for a solitary place. And what I mean by they, that Jesus and his disciples, you know, and they're looking to get away from the crowds, but the crowds saw them and they're following them. Because they've seen what Jesus did, so I would too, right? So you go on, and Jesus saw them, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick, and Jesus asked them a question. He gave them kind of a test. He said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." He said, "You give them something to eat." You see, the way they're going to solve it. The disciples were going to solve as this. Send the crowds away, Jesus. Send them away. Get them out of here. That's my way. You know, you got 5,000 men. That doesn't mean the women and the children. So some people think it's up to 20,000 people. All right? That's a lot of people. I mean, even if we're going to feed this crowd, you got to think, okay, how much do we need? You know, now you're thinking some big thoughts. And so there's a difference. There's a horizontal perspective and there's a vertical perspective. We work with horizontal perspective quite a bit. We're here on earth, so we're just thinking about things that are right in front of us. Me, myself, and I, and whatever the world offers me to help me solve my problems, right? To help rescue me, to give me what I need at that time. So I focus here. But the vertical perspective is when we behold, right? We look up for someone else, more powerful and mighty. And so this is what you can see where the disciples are at. They're very horizontal, yes? And then if you go on and look at the book of Mark, and I think it is chapter 6, and it says in verse 34, see, they were still looking to get away there, same thing. And they were looking for, that quietness. And then people were following them. Jesus saw them when they landed on shore, and he had compassion on them. And because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So that adds a little bit more context to it, right? And began teaching them. And then you go on to Luke in chapter, I think it's 9. And here they are. They just returned, actually, from a mission trip themselves. He sent out the 12, and so they are involved in God's, you know, they're being witnesses two by two when he sent them out two by two, and they're having a great ministry, and they're coming back, and they're probably rejoicing, but a little bit tired as well. So that's why they're trying to get some rest. And then he sees them. Jesus sees the crowds again, and he welcomes them and speaks to them about the kingdom of God and heals those who needed healing. And again, they say, send the crowd away. Jesus, send them away. You know, because they're saying, well, you feed them. So back in John, he looks here. He asks Philip. You see, Philip's the homeboy. I don't know if that's used anymore. The homeboy, he's the guy that lives in that area where they're at. So he knows things. He knows what's around. And Jesus gives them a simple question. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Yeah. Challenging the horizontal perspective of Philip. See, Philip's like this. Where? And he says, I've been living here all my life, and there's a couple rocks and maybe some reptilians running around, and That's it, Jesus. And then it says here, he asked to test him. Jesus asked Philip to test his heart. And Jesus, this is Philip. This is my kind of answer. I love it. I love this answer. It says, it would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. See, I'm just dramatic, right? Just for you to have a little bite, this would be a half year's of wages. You know, just trying to sell it. Selling that. Jesus, what are you asking me? I can't do this. No one can. There's not enough. No, there's no option here. It's impossible what it comes down to. And then Andrew, you know, Mr. Andrew, who likes to bring people to Jesus and stuff like that, well, he caught one of these guys. He said, what do you got, boy? He looked in there and said, ooh, look at that. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus! Wait a second. Jesus, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus, that's maybe not my lunch. I don't know if I'm going to share with you, Jesus. I don't think so. I don't know. Right? And he's going, well, this isn't going to go too far among so many. So, burn. Their horizontal radar is up, and they're starting to go, Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, Jesus is testing their viewpoint, right? Where are they going with this? You see, the opposite of behold, what do you think is the opposite of behold? Look! What is it? It's not unlook. The opposite is miss it. You miss it. Have you ever watched Get Smart, that TV series of Maxwell Smart? And something happens, you know, so he would throw something or shoot something and it just missed by it. He'd just go, I missed by that much. And really, it was big, whatever he missed by a lot, all right? And that's what the opposite of behold is. You miss it completely. What's going on here? Well, Philip, Andrew, most likely the other disciples are probably going, psh, 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 psh. I don't want to get close to Jesus because he's asked me the same thing. So they're probably scratching their head going, man, this is impossible. They're all missing the point here. See, they're trying to solve this problem with something that's temporary, put a little Band-Aid on something. Like when something's falling apart and you look for anything and you find a little bit of duct tape or some Windex to fix everything, that type of thing. So it's just a temporary fix, just to keep it moving for now or whatever it's supposed to do. But that's it. It's not going to last long. And that's where they're at. See, all they really need to do is start switching their vision and say, and behold. Behold the one who was asking them the question. Because it said Jesus already knew what he was going to do. See, he's sovereign. He's got the authority. He knows what he's going to do. He's got the plan. All right? Just like Vanderbilt beating Alabama. They must have had a great plan for that team to beat Alabama. That coach must have put together a great strategy to beat a team that was most likely much better than them athletically. And Jesus knows. So, if they turn their eyes to Jesus and behold him and remember all the things that he's been doing before, we already saw somebody's healings, right? Healing somebody from far away, healing somebody who is 38 years an invalid, turning water into wine. And healing sick and all that, and just his words, so powerful and wonderful. And all they have to do is just turn their gaze to him and behold him and go, oh, you're the answer. Jesus, Philip should have said, but he should have been scratching his head. Oh, you're trying to trick me, Jesus. No, you know how it is in Sunday school, right? Sunday school class, when a teacher asks you a question, what do you answer? What? Jesus. And you'll probably get it right every time. All right? So same thing here. Right? Philip and Andrew and the disciples should be going like this, going, oh, man, this is impossible. Go, oh, Jesus, what are you trying to do to me? It's you, boy. You're the answer. You're the one that can do this. And Jesus says, just give it to me and I'll give thanks. And you know what? I got a feeling when he put it in those little baskets that they were going around with 20,000 people, it started multiplying right there in those baskets. So, you know, Peter started going like this. It's just a few in there. And then also he's going, oh, man, that's heavy. Here, take it from me. You know, this thing was just supernatural. See, God, if he could change water into wine, and it wasn't just any wine, it was the best wine. Fish and bread? So easy. Anything that we need, he can provide. So easy. So why would we miss it and not behold him? Why are we always looking to the next philosophy or the education or the next interest loan or whatever it is that's coming up for us? And when we can just turn to Jesus and say, you're the answer. You're the answer to all my needs, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You're the answer. See, the crowd saw it, and you know, they're going, oh, wow. They gathered all these things. They gathered all these 12 baskets, and verse 14, and the people saw the sign Jesus performed. They began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. And Jesus knew what they're going to do next. They're going to go, hey, Jesus, get over here, man. You're the one. Get the crown, get the rope. You're the king. And Jesus knew that. He says, no, I'm not that kind of king. Not now. You guys are a little bit, you're missing it. You're missing it. And then you go a little bit further, and you go a little bit further in John 26. You pick up there. And this is Jesus talking to the crowd now, okay? Jesus answers, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, because what they did, you know, they had another sign just happened. He crossed the lake, and we'll get to that next week. And then the people found him again, okay? So he can't get away from these guys. They're kind of like super glue, you know? It's just kind of like, he goes over here they are, here, Audrey and Dave are again. I go over here, there's Dave and Audrey. Come on, what do you want? What are you looking for? Well, they don't, you know, they're looking for the tummy, and they're looking for something they can, but there's something more going on in here, I believe. They just don't, they're missing it. They're missing it right now. And he says, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And I tell you something, I had that pumpkin pie you gave me, that little one, the other day. I was looking for something bigger. It's just a little guy. I had a share of joy. Yeah, well, you see, that's a great example. He gave me all he had. But if he behold, and he prayed and gave thanks, it could have been something bigger, and I would have been happier and more satisfied. I would have came back for more afterwards, though, for sure, all right? Then Jesus says, do not work for food that spoils, oh, Jesus, shoot, but for food that endures to eternal life. Ooh, I like that. Which the Son of Man will give you. From on him, God the Father has placed a seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must I do to do the works of God requires me? I'm ready. Come on, I can plant. I can row. I can do it. I can box. I can do anything. What do you want me to do? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work of God for us is this, to believe in the one he sent. Behold! That's what he's saying right there. He's saying, behold, this is the one. You don't have to believe in this. You don't have to believe in that. This person, that thing going on there. No. Turn your eyes and behold the living Christ, the Messiah, the coming King, once again for us. See in Isaiah, as Steve was reading that today, it says, behold in that, behold your God. See, these people were, you know, they were beholding themselves, beholding the world, but they weren't beholding God. He's the bread of life, he said later on here in chapter 6. In fact, chapter 6 is the longest chapter in the New Testament. Did you know that? There's a reason for that. Because it's a crossroads. Because later on, these guys said, well, you know, this is hard teaching. You know, these people that he was talking to, there in verse 60, it says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And then in 66, it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Oh, this is a crossroads for us. Are we going to behold the world or are you going to behold Jesus? It's a crossroads, right? Because if you behold the world, you might be satisfied for that little bit of time, but he's got a lot more for us that lasts for eternity. Behold, I can provide not only now, but I can provide forever and ever. And that's what he's calling us to do. You see, he tells them, you know, the fathers, you know, they always talk about, you know, Exodus and all that and the manna. And well, God sent the manna from, it came from where? From heaven. And he's saying, guys, the Father sent me from heaven. I'm the bread of life. Better than manna. Better than the manna. Because those guys ate it and they died. But I'll give you life everlasting. Better than that. Sweeter than that. What he's saying, he's declaring himself, I am the miracle. I am the miracle, guys. It's not the bread. It's me. And today we have communion, right? And we talk about the bread. He is the bread of life. So what do we do with this? Well, the question is up for you, or the challenge, the test for you, is this. Give them something to eat. You got all these people around us. They don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Family, friends, classmates, coworkers, people you meet in Walmart, or wherever. How are you going to feed so many? There's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions. You give them something to eat. So what are you going to start doing? I've got $100 here. I can do that. I'll go to the grocery store. I'll start and make some meals, and that'll be good. Right? Or sometimes, you know what we do? We just say, hey, good job, buddy. You did good today. Yeah, excellent. And walk away, you know, kind of nice words, kind words and stuff like that. Sometimes, you know, come over and visit somebody and says, you know, it's really just good to be here. Thank you for the meal, and we'll see you next time. You know, that type of niceties and things like that, yeah, yeah. But you know what? That's all horizontal. Because it just, it's there, but then it fades. See, there's more to feeding these people. And that's why we are to be in here. Because if you feel like you're on empty, if you're scratching your head like a Philip and an Andrew and going, Jesus, I don't know what to do. I just got a little bit. I can't feed all these people. You start reading this. And you get into it, and you pray about it, and you listen to the Father, and you walk in it, and I guarantee you, you're going to find bread that you can feed these millions with. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Because this word is not just something printed on a page, but it's also alive and powerful. That's what it says. It's a double-edged sword. It's alive and active. It's real. It changes me, and I guarantee you it's changing you as you're reading it and talking and discussing and praying about it. And so those are a big question. So instead of doing the little thing, which only works for a little bit, it's only from what we can give them, let's go to the vertical perspective. Let's move past the horizontal. And when we run into these things and these big things, and we're just going, whoa, you know, the election's coming up, whoa. Well, let's bring it back to the vertical perspective and go, oh, who is the king? Who is the king? Who is this really all about? And who has the power and authority to move in this world? No one but the king. He's the one that sets up, and he's the one that brings down. Right? So he says, turn your perspective to me. Behold me. Don't worry about the world. Don't behold the world and what little it can give, but behold me and what I have. And some people ask, well, what was that? Karen, do we have that up on the screen? That blessings. Well, here's some blessings. Here, if you can you expand that, or I think you hit that little camera thing, that little up top there. Yep, up to the very top, to the left there. Yeah, yep, almost. Yep, almost. One more. Yep, that's it. I think that's it. Yep, thank you. So, blessings. So you say, well, John, what kind of blessings can I do? How can I pray for people? How can I speak blessings in their lives? Because I know I bless Nolan and Cam often with these blessings. So this is just a few examples. You don't have to write all down. You just write the scripture down. Get a piece of paper, write it out. If you don't know any blessings to bless the people around you with, you can pray this for them quietly or outwardly. You can bless them in words. You know, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That's a wonderful blessing, right? Another one is, is this working? Oops, if I turn it on, it might work. This one, 1 Corinthians, I love this one. Be on your guard, you know. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do all things in love. Wow, that's a wonderful blessing. Wonderful blessing. One thing I always pray for Cam when he goes to school. And, you know, this one's always a favorite too. You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Boy. I don't know. Cam must have been saying that to himself last week when he ran his cross country, because he was always in the 32, 35 minutes. He ran 25 minutes, 3 miles, 25 minutes. If I got my car, I might do that. All right. So 20. I mean, that's a huge difference. So I keep on telling him, hey, just remember this as you're running. Even I don't know if he does, but I pray for that, for that strength. So these are just, and as you read the word, you come up with other blessings that you can pray for others, that you can be ready to speak into their lives. Instead of just saying, hi, how are you doing? And I hope you're doing okay, and then walk away. bless them. Speak the word into their lives. They need it. They need it. Oh, a lot of people saying, well, it sounds so weird. It just doesn't seem like, you know what? That's what the enemy wants us to feel like. He wants us to go, oh, this is just, now we're starting a horizontal perspective again. Oh, this is weird. You know, it doesn't fit in. I can't speak this right now to this person. I don't know. As you ask the Lord, when you speak these words into their lives, they're going to behold. They're going to get a glimpse of beholding the King of all creation who loves them and sent his son to die for them, save them. And that mustard seed is planted in their heart. And we're just going to trust that God's going to make it grow one day. And there's going to be a time when we meet all in the sky together and we get on in that big banquet before the Lord. And we're going to notice this one guy. All he did was speak one of these blessings one time to this guy. You know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens, gives you strength. And that guy goes, yeah, I remember that. And I started thinking about that, and I started getting a Bible, and I started reading. And look where I am today. Because of the Lord's grace and mercy and his power through his word. So it says here in Ephesians, I know we love this, but this is really the one we behold. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That's what Philip and Andrew needed. That's what we need each day, each moment in our lives. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, us, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, we praise you for your word and for the power that is in it. And Lord, may we behold you every moment of the day, and may we be reminded to help others behold you. There might be a simple prayer, a simple word from a blessing from your word to them, to encourage them, even though they might not even know what we're talking about. But we do, and you do, and that's the most important thing. So we're just, Lord, we ask that we can walk in this, Lord. It's not just to listen, but may we walk with this. May we write these blessings, whatever blessings, we've just put them in a somewhere where we can always refer to them. Maybe in our wallets or purses. Write them on our hands. I don't know, Lord. But may we be that focused to be able to bring your kingdom to them so they can behold you, their Lord, their Savior, their Maker, and the one that has everlasting life waiting for them as they do what Jesus asked, just believe. That's your work. Just believe in me and follow me. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say,
amen.